This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 648, Low Tide and Zenishari. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from Pops to Dorbs, Rides to Mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/FunkoATA.
Coming to you from the exotic land known as Canada, eh? You're listening to another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now we present your awesome hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Maedros, the commander of the Fell and master of demons, Vandeth, the non-vegan meat shield, my warrior brother, Toasty, and the High Priestess of the Everlight, Ellie. She ain't from Canada, but it'll work. It's the internet. Just go with it. They are bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And Toasty, I'm sorry we didn't play Gloria this week. I apologize.
That's fine.
I thought you had enough Gloria this week between the NHL awards and the draft and all that stuff.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I hope so.
Heard plenty of Gloria. I also listen to it daily.
I thought that was probably the case, yes. You might be overdosing on it, though.
No such thing. Is there such a thing as overdosing on your team being champions? No.
Fair point, I guess. I wouldn't know that. It's been a long time since the team I cheered for was a champion. Thanks for rubbing that in, though. Thanks for rubbing that in. Really, really appreciate their reminder that the Bombers, Gold Eyes, and Jets haven't won anything in ages.
The Gold Eyes won, like, last year, dude.
Okay. The Bombers and the Jets haven't won anything in ages. I don't really follow the Gold Eyes anymore.
Fair.
Anyways, how you been, bud? Other than celebrating and glory and all that stuff.
I've been pretty good getting excited for tomorrow. Because, you know, patch day. I appreciate Blizzard putting that news out there the day after we recorded the show last week. But, you know, that's the life of a content creator, right? Sometimes stuff's going to happen after you put your thing out for the week.
Yep. It's real nice when they announce things half an hour after we finish and have to do a recording to add into the thing saying, by the way, guess what?
Just kidding.
You know how we talked about, like, after Independence Day? Nah, it's... Barry Blizzard took that as a hold my beer moment.
To be fair, like, one of the things we said was they're not going to do it on the week of Independence Day. And this week is certainly not the week of Independence Day.
Yes, and then we theorize it'll probably be the week after or the week after that.
Yeah, well, that's just details, Medros. How dare you get caught up in the details?
Oh, so I should get a couple caught up in the details that the St. Louis Blues are the Stanley Cup champions and they beat all these teams to get there? I shouldn't get caught up on those details then?
See, but that's a fact, though.
But that's still details. Facts are details.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty big... It's a big enough fact to not just be simply labeled a detail.
Fair point. How you doing, Allie?
I'm good.
Don't want people to think that they were maybe mishearing that there may not be a giggle tonight, so. we do have people come just for the giggle, I hear.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
All right, well, Allie, how was your weekend? WoW?
Pretty good. I finally got my neck piece to 50, which I know for some, you know, it might be surprising that I haven't done that yet, but I also didn't want to grind it too much as opposed to Artifact Power last expansion, because I didn't want to get as burnt out. So while I thought I would get to this point sooner, I also am happy that it's happening now. And I didn't feel like I was grinding it out and pushing for it, and I didn't feel like I had to go get it. And that is good. I'm glad that's done. I did my normal island expeditions and actually got a couple of pets out of it. And I went and killed a couple of bosses over in Darkshore, and got a mount, which was cool. I got the caged bear.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited about that. And worked a little bit on my horde too, not as much as I was planning to originally, but I got like a lot of little things done. Like I finally got a good chunk of time just to sit down and play. And so I just got like a lot of little things done and off my list that I wanted to get done before 8-2. So that was pretty exciting. So I felt good about that. And then this upcoming week is going to be just fortunately super busy in real life, but I'm super excited for 8-2 to come out and I will play it as often as I can this week. How was your week in WoW, Medros?
My week, I did probably more than I expected to. So, like, after the show last week, I had to, like, push to get the last few world quests on a bunch of characters, because I had maybe forgotten about that kind of stuff a bit kind of. So, yeah, there was some rushing around like a chicken with the head cut off kind of stuff going on there. And the rest of the week, I tried to make sure that I got my characters around that needed resources to places that could get them resources, because I hate being without resources on my characters. It's one of my pet peeves, because I don't want to get to the point where I'm like not doing anything in WoW because I don't have resources on characters. I also did a couple of invasions on characters. I did two on each of my characters that still need more 7th Legion stuff for the ring. And then I also did one each on my two non max level paladins, my Draenei paladin Talon and my Torn paladin Hoofbright. Once again, reminding myself how really bad and pleasant it is to be trying to level on a character that has not gotten any drops in the expansion. But at least on Hoofbright, it's a little bit better because he's only 112, so he's still, you know, pretty early on at that point. But Talon is kind of struggling a little bit without upgraded gear. So that's a little bit rough, but he'll get there eventually, I believe. And otherwise just doing basic daily stuff. I did get one thing that apparently is a very rare drop. And ironically, this is something I actually had been saving at one point on my engineer to get the resources for, because when I realized that this is something he could make, that it was way past when that stuff was actually active. But some people on Twitter noticed that my post, which was that I got the geosynchronous world spinner.
I hate you so much.
But you can craft it, man. You can craft that thing.
As you said, those materials are expensive.
Not that they're expensive, just that they were out of sync with the current content. Like, it basically would have required me going back and farming stuff in old expansions.
Yeah.
And I was not really excited to do that at the time, so.
I did it at the time, but I would have preferred to get it for free from a freaking Blingtron.
Well, I guess Blingtron likes me better, I guess.
Yep, congrats, I guess. I'm very
You're not
happy
bitter
for
or
you.
Anything, right?
No, I'm very happy for you.
You know, you say happy, but that's not the word I feel like your heart is saying.
No, I'm very happy.
All right, then. We'll go with happy as your emotion in that case. But yeah, I was really happy to get that. I was surprised. The only other cool thing I've ever gotten out of Blingtron was the pet from Blingtron. So I was kind of blown away to get that. But it was pretty cool. And I flew around on it for about 5 minutes and realized that it looks really ugly. So.
What?
Sorry, the mount looks really ugly. So I stopped riding it. It's like a really ugly looking rocket.
Don't break Toasty. We kind of like him.
You hear I'm pretty broken right now. The front.
Oh, true, but.
It's like the ultimate thanks I hated moment.
Yes, basically, Fraz, that was exactly what it was. Thank you for the mount. I hate it. Not that I hate it, it's not a very pretty mount. It's like Burning Crusade or Lich King level content. And its model looks really outdated.
The geosynchronous world spinner? That was... Oh. I want to say... Mist? Didn't need Trillium?
Let me see here. If I can get something to actually like...
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Mist's content. You needed to buy something from the goblin in... the Veil.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Trillium, Spirits of Harmony, Ghost Iron Bolts, Orbs of Mystery. I think those were the ones you had to purchase for a really high price. Yeah, 20,000 gold each.
Yeah.
That's only, like, at most, that mount's going to cost you, what, 70,000, 80,000 to make? It's not a big deal.
Well, sorry, it's not a big deal for you, Mister. I have a million plus gold.
I don't even have 3 million gold anymore. What are you talking about?
I will drop this call.
What, you're spending cash for gold? That's fine.
No, I'm not.
Don't buy tokens in a while? Okay, I thought you were still buying tokens, sorry.
Nope.
Oh, right, you're broke because of your jersey addiction. That's right, sorry. Interest. There we go.
I'm mostly just trying to save money. Plus true. And whatnot.
But how is your weekend? Is it good?
But also, I got another jersey in today.
Yeah, I figured.
Oh, Toasty.
To be fair, I bought this thing like a month ago.
Have you received any of your Stanley Cup champion stuff yet?
Not yet.
Did you order it yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was like 22 hours or so after they won that you were like, what can I not get? Mm-hmm. All right, well, how was your week out there, bud?
It was pretty quiet, honestly. All I did was just a bunch of world quests. Beat my hand against Brawler's Guild for a little bit. But I lost interest pretty quickly. I wasn't in the mood for it for some reason. I thought I was.
Yeah, you kind of have to be in the mood for that.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go tackle that, then just blow through a bunch of the ranks, and I did the fight like twice. I'm like, maybe not. Not in the mood for all this. Not in the mood to like repeatedly die in an attempt to clear this thing. Which is funny that I say that, because I came to a decision last week, and I'm sure Seraphis is going to be really happy about this. I'm dipping back into raiding starting this week.
Yeah, I was hoping you would. That's awesome. Oh man, are you guys going to kick me off the show now? Because now there's two raiders.
It didn't stop us before.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had two raiders before. It was fine. But we may need to ask you to try and do some PvP or something. That's fine.
I used to dabble back in Burning Crusade and Wrath a little bit.
Besides, like, well, this way we'll get the rating from two perspectives. From the perspective of a healer and a perspective from a really, really terrible melee DPS.
And tank.
True.
Are you tanking a raid now, Medros?
No.
Oh my gosh. I think hell would freeze over,
and
some of the other crazy things would happen.
Yeah, there's no raiding going on for me ever. Just no.
Just no.
But yeah, it was more quests and agreeing to raid. So, So we'll see how that goes on Wednesday. I'm a little rusty.
I will say a year. I will say my weekend has been filled with a lot of spell casting.
You leveling a mage?
No. Well,
warlock.
A magic user.
So warlock.
No.
Druid.
No.
A wizard.
Well, priest is only like it's like holy magic.
I think Yali's figured it out.
Yeah, I've been doing that too.
In fact, I thought I didn't want to. I may have just saved a book that was being shackled, perhaps.
I thought I didn't want to because I barely play Pogo. Well, it's just Pogo but Harry Potter. Yes. Turns out it being Harry Potter is enough for me to do that. So, yeah.
Should I say I'm surprised, or would you be upset with me that I lied?
I just say you lied, because literally nobody is surprised by my decision to play this game.
That's true.
Well, I do recall I asked you a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, Toasty, are you at all interested in playing this new Harry Potter game come out, and what was your answer?
No. My answer was no. And that was the surprising answer.
That was a surprising answer, because I was pretty confident the answer was eventually going to be yes.
Yeah.
And it was, so.
Yep. I was playing it at work today, and I went out for some fresh air with one of my coworkers. He saw me playing, and he's like, I'm not surprised at all. How far are you in it? What level are you? Like, he was expecting me to be pretty progressive. I am not, because as it turns out, those games are better played when you're able to walk around efficiently.
Yes. Right. There is absolutely a benefit to be able to walk around.
Yeah, playing it from the couch is not ideal.
No.
It's doable, but like, barely.
I will say, wizarding from my couch was very efficient this weekend. Because it turns out that I live on a spawn point where... when I opened the game in general, I had about 5 or 6 confoundables nearby that I could fight. But anyways, this is not all things Wizards Unite yet. Maybe someday in the future. We'll see.
I do have a quick question. How do you feel about it compared to Pokemon Go? Like, for example, if I felt like I needed to pick just one of these two games, which would you recommend the most and why?
Pogo is less confusing. There's less involved there. At least that's how I felt initially. So
there is a lot more depth to Wizards Unite, and there is a lot more to do. Pogo is throw a ball or tap a button repeatedly for a while and get what you want.
Right.
Wizards Unite, you actually, like, there's actually thinking you need to do. There's actually multiple possible actions you need to do. It's not, like, Pogo I found was very much figure things out yourself. This actually tells you what you should do and when you should do it. It's much more explanatory on that. Because I think they're aiming for, at least to some degree, the younger Potter fan audience as well. They don't want to... Like they want to make it very clear what you're supposed to do at any one point in time. It's a very fun game. I think it has a lot of tail, like a lot of play time and a lot of stuff you can do in it. But there are definitely people I know who are going to power through it, and they're going to hit a point where there will be a point where there will be people who will be like, okay, now what do I do? But for the average player, it's definitely a fun game. It really depends on what you like about Pogo as to whether or not this is a game that you're going to enjoy as much as Pogo.
Okay.
So the answer to your question is, what do you like about Pogo? And that'll be an indicator as whether or not this will be something you would transition easily over to.
Right.
I like that there's a lot more information here. I absolutely have significant issues that I am very surprised made it past the beta test. I'm very curious, and I would love to have a chat with somebody from New Zealand or Australia who did beta test it, and see if some of the stuff that I've seen and some of the criticisms I have been were presented by the community in the beta test, to see if like maybe there was just not a lot of communication, or if it was an issue of and Niantic is horrible for this, an issue of developers thinking they know better than their player base of what is a good functionality. For instance, so there's a thing called spell energy, and it does not auto recharge. So you have to go to an inn to recharge. If you don't have one anywhere nearby, you basically have to drive or walk a far distance to get to one for enough spell energy to maybe take down one or two confoundables, which is like a Pokemon-esque type thing. So, right. It'd be like, the only way you can get Pokeballs is driving for half an hour or spending money to get them. And if you drive for half an hour, you might get 3 Pokeballs, and that might help you catch 1 Pokemon.
Right.
And assuming that's not a hard Pokemon to catch, and it's complicated. It's a complicated game, but I can see that once things are smoothed out, it can be really good. I actually posted this morning a screenshot of me hitting level 10 in Wizards Unite, and somebody from Niantic actually did a commented retweet congratulating me on it, and I basically replied with, I just hope you guys can figure out the less fun aspects of this game before too much longer.
Right, yeah.
Even like a 1 spell energy per hour while I sleep, so I wake up with 8 spell energy, would be a vast improvement over, oh, I used up all spell energy, now I can't do anything until I can find an inn. If you're in a downtown, like downtown Winnipeg where Toasty works, there's probably 40 inns in the span of 2 blocks. But wow. There's nothing in some areas of the city. Another functionality that's a bit of a problem is fortresses, which is where you do more high level battles. And in the downtown area of Winnipeg, where I work, I could see 2 that were about a 20-minute walk away from me. I can't see Toshi's work from my work, so I traveled after work down to where Toshi works. Like literally, I could see probably see his desk somewhere up in the window from where I was standing, and I literally saw 2 of these things within a short-ish walking distance, and basically they're like gyms. So it would basically be like, oh, there's 2 gyms within the sight I can see, which is probably a half a kilometer. So very sparse quantity of those. And it makes the lack of those makes for a problem for me. But again, this is all a matter of waiting to see how Niantic changes and tweaks the game as it gets adopted. Right now, they're still rolling out to the world, so.
Right. Okay.
But it has great potential, and the built-in fan base for a Harry Potter version of Pokemon Go is infinite, I feel. If they can get these few niggling issues just right. But we'll see how that goes. Again, this is not Wizards Unite, all things Wizards Unite, so we'll move on from that conversation. Anything else about your week there, bud?
No, not really. It was all pretty right. Quiet week. Gearing up for the Chaos MLB 8.2.
All right, well, let's talk about our first sponsor before we get into that. Our newest sponsor is Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, from Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Star Wars, and Doctor Who. Now, I've mentioned this a few times, and I'm finally going to do this. Finally going to talk about this Funko Pop. It is I would say one of the most popular Funko Pops I've seen people talk about online. And I think it's just cute. What do you guys think?
it's the worst of the three starters.
But I'm not talking about the quality of the starter. I'm talking about how cute it is, Toasty.
Yeah, but the fact that it's Charmander just immediately like, nope.
Charmander is cute. You can't deny that.
Yep, but Squirtle is obviously the superior one.
Squirtle is pretty cool. But well, I do like this. It's a pretty cute one. The naturally big Funko Pop eyes actually work really well for the Charmander.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
I just think it's cute. And I would love to have one. Have not seen a Squirtle one yet, though. That's probably coming eventually, though.
Save the best for last.
Okay. We'll talk about the other one later. I do like that they did Pikachu first, though, because that's kind of the thematic Pokemon of the series.
Yep.
Krasly.
I like how you can just watch the facepalm emotes climb up almost immediately after he provides them to us. Nice touch.
Yep, it's definitely needed. But yeah, so the highlight Funko Pop this week is Charmander. Again, as usual from the Pokemon games. So definitely a really awesome Funko Pop, and I really like that one. I know you may not like it, Toasty, but I do. So you're wrong. That's what I'm saying. Anyways, if you want to check out this Funko and many others, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% on your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA and use Shop10 to save 10%. I want to thank Funko for their support of the show. So before we get on to our usual next thing in our most regular segments here, tell us what is happening this week in Dungeon Fables there, Allie.
Well, this week in Dungeon Fables, we went to Mechanar, which was a lot of fun, and found out why it's there and how Kel'thas uses power from Mechanar in his devious plans. So that was a lot of fun, and you should check it out. You can go to dungeonfables.com, and it was episode 52. Yes. I had to think about that number for a second.
It's okay. I have to think about the number for ATA every week, even though all the show notes are labeled.
That makes more sense because they're higher numbers. We are at big numbers here in All Things Azeroth. I'm not at triple digits yet, so I shouldn't have to think about what number I'm on now.
Yes, but when I look at the show notes, like the numbers, and every week, when I'm saving the file, I'm like, okay, ATA Toasty 6, what number is it again? Right there.
I'm not going to start adding a zero yet. I have many more episodes. Anyways, yes, so that was this week in Dungeon Fables, because apparently that's a thing now. Thank you, Medros. As for this week in WoW, which is why we're really here, it is the start, well, it started on like Friday, but we are now at the Midsummer Fire Festival going on from June 21st to July 5th. They did add a couple things this year, so you should definitely check it out. They added a new Hearthstone toy, which has been the trend for holidays lately, and this one is called the Fire Eater's Hearthstone. I already got it. It's pretty cool. I was hoping it was more like your character shooting out fire, like, you know, like a fire from their mouth, and I'm making that motion even though you can't see it, but it isn't quite like what I was expecting, but it's still involves fire, and it's still really cool. It only costs 300 of the Burning Blossoms, you know, the currency you get, which I know may sound like a lot, but it actually goes really quick. And they added fires in Zeldazar and Kul'Tiras, you know, both for Alliance and Horde. So you can go, well, the, you know, Horde over in Zandalar and Kul'Tiras over there. So you can take care of those and get the achievements for those as well, which is also new. And really, it's a great way to get some gold, because you get gold for each fire you go to, which is lovely. And if you hit up the Ribbon Dance pole, you get that buff for XP, which is awesome if you're working on alts. And I highly recommend it. And it's a good chunk of time this holiday, so it's a good time to take advantage of it and to have fun with it. But on top of that, this week we also have the Battleground bonus event, June 25th through July 1st, as well as a little thing called 8.2 coming out Tuesday. So there's that. It's going to be a great weekend. WoW. Do you guys plan on doing Midsummer Fire Festival stuff?
Yep, but only because of, like you said, gold. And don't you get experience if you're not, if you're sub level cap?
Yes.
Then I will also be leveling up a character via that method.
And if you go to Handy Notes, that add-on has a specific subsection add-on, like a separate add-on you can add to it that tells you the location of all the fires for. So that makes it really easy. Plus the dailies that come along with it. And that's also in addition to going to slave pens and killing a hoon. So lots of ways to get the Burning Blossoms. It really does go quickly. So you should all go get the Hearthstone. And there's also some toys and pets if you have not gotten those in the past. So
Hearthstone is obviously the
important. Oh yeah, I got that one first.
And Hoon's transmog weapon, because any opportunity I get to wield a scythe, I knew it.
It's so good looking too. I got that years ago, and I was so excited about it.
So my question to Gil is how long did it get to the 300? Because that's all I care about is the Hearthstone. I just want the 300 that I get to use the Hearthstone.
It took maybe an hour or two at the most.
Oh, it's not bad.
It really does not take long. Yeah, Gil, it's easy enough to like throw a TV show on or something as you go around and do them.
It's like leveling fishing.
Okay, gotcha. I understand now. See, everything should be measured on the fishing scale in WoW.
Yes, you can listen to All Things Azeroth while you are getting your Burning Blossoms.
Yep.
All right, guys, we need to make this show at least 2 hours so people have lots of time to get their Burning Blossoms.
Maybe?
That sounds like a no there.
But just, I don't know if you want to edit that, let's be honest. I mean, I'm sure we can ramble on for 2 hours, but I don't think you want that.
I mean, I'm happy to release it as is, and people have to suffer through the pain.
Yeah.
All right, maybe not. But I'm sure you know how about this, guys? Listen to our show, followed up by Dungeon Fables. That should be enough time to get your Burning Blossoms.
There you go.
Roughly, it's close. This is one of my shorter shows I've done in a while. So
people maybe do, if they haven't listened to an old episode, or maybe they want to go back and listen to an older episode, maybe one of your blooper episodes or something.
Yep, there's plenty of them out there.
Plenty of bloopers or episodes?
Both. I mean, there's two blooper episodes. There's two bloopers episodes, so I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
Two is plenty.
I've listened. I know I listened to one that made me hurt. That's all I know. It was funny. made me laugh.
Okay. I was like, I was trying to figure out why it made you hurt. I'm glad it's like side.
Stitch in the side like, kind of hurt, yeah.
Not mentally hurt. Or maybe just the hurt of knowing that those failures came from your co-host. I mean, I don't know if that kind of hurt. So I'm glad it was laughter.
If he was hurt by his co-host's failure, I'd have hurt him a long time ago.
I'm really happy that I do not keep the bloopers from this from the show.
I wish you did.
No. Because 90% of that would be me having to redo the intro 5 times because I messed it up every time.
Well, you have to pick and choose. If I included every single thing that I have failed on, my blooper episodes would be 2 hours long each. You have to pick and choose.
Yeah, you only pick the funny blooper.
Yeah.
Like that half-hour blooper video I made for my guild a while back.
See,
that was recorded over 2 weeks of raiding, 2 nights a week for 3 hours.
See, I feel like me doing a putting together of outtakes, there'd have to be one of Medro swearing because technology is failing him, and then there'd be one of bloopers.
There's also just one of us calling each other out for being muted.
And calling out Toasty for forgetting to do the quest. Whatever the quest is. It's always a quest.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm a forgetful man.
Alright, is there anything else that came out this week?
That's about it this week. I feel like between that and 8.2, it's a pretty heavy week. Lots and lots going on.
All right, then. So, speaking of news and interesting stuff that's coming out for 8.2, and I'm very curious what you guys think of this. I have very strong opinions on this. So, I don't know when Blizzard did this. This may be old news. But currently, in anticipation of the release of 8.2, Blizzard has started a sale on Collector's Edition goodies that you can buy even if you don't have the Collector's Edition. Now, again, as I said, I don't know if this is something they've been doing for a while and they just lowered the price of it, but it is something that kind of irks me a little bit because I paid for my Collector's Edition and this is basically people getting the goodies I paid more for a lot less. So, basically, if you spend $12 Canadian, I'm pretty sure it's probably like $10 American.
Yeah.
You will get, at your choice, the digital deluxe items for either Battle for Azeroth, Legion, or Warlords of Draenor. So, you get pets, mounts, card backs, portraits, wings in Diablo, and stuff like that. What do you think of this, Ali? Of this offer that they're doing?
It honestly doesn't bother me. On one hand, yeah, you know, we paid money for these items back in the day and now they're like super cheap. Like, I know I got the digital collector's edition, well, digital deluxe for Legion and for BFA, but I didn't get it for Draenor. So that was nice. I went and bought that because it's nice and cheap. But I think a lot of time has passed since BFA came out, especially since Legion came out. And I don't know. I see why it would frustrate some people, but it doesn't bother me personally.
Okay. What do you think, Toasty?
I'm also in the camp of it doesn't bother me for two reasons. First off, I bought the physical edition, so I paid a little bit. I paid more than the digital deluxe to begin with. Also, just reviewing the prices of the different items on the store for the $25 price for each of these bundles is basically the cost of upgrading from a standard edition to a deluxe edition. Right now, for example, the non-sale price of Battle for Azeroth standard edition is $63 Canadian. And to upgrade to the digital deluxe edition is $87.99 Canadian. So that's a difference of $25. And the cost of those bundles is $25. The way I see it, it's people having the opportunity to update themselves to the digital deluxe edition that they didn't, that they may not have had the chance to do previously because of their financial situation. It's not them getting the items for cheap. Well, sorry, the sale is absolutely them getting the items for cheaper, because that's the nature of a sale. But the standard price would just be making up the difference between buying a standard edition over a deluxe edition. It's also worth pointing out that that Battle for Azeroth currently is on sale. Standard edition $37.99, digital deluxe edition $49.99, which is a $12 difference, which is also the cost of these bundles.
I just don't like they made it so cheap. Like, for those who buy the digital deluxe at launch, paying full price, they're paying a lot of money to get those goodies. And I know a lot of people who probably wouldn't have bought the digital deluxe edition at launch if they knew that they were going to get the goodies later for a lot cheaper.
I mean, and yeah, I get people being upset about that, but at the same time, that's the cost of being an early adopter. For the cost of being somebody who has to get that stuff right away, you're going to have to accept that eventually some of that stuff is going to end up on sale, and people are going to get it for less. For example, the Cataclysm Physical Edition, the physical Cataclysm Collector's Edition, was, I can't even remember the price. Let's just say, for example, it was $100 at the time. I bought it on sale after Warlords of Draenor came out, because EB Games near my place happened to still have a copy of it. Mm-hmm. And they sold it to me on sale. I don't see the issue with this, just because, I mean, we are later in the expansion cycle. We're presumably at least halfway through, and the Blizzard's going to want to try to get more people on board with this, so they're going to sell these games at a discounted price, as they have done previously. This isn't the first time they've done an expansion sale. Certainly won't be the last. And this way, it's just giving people the opportunity to upgrade their standard edition. It's going to prevent people from, because I know what some people did before was they bought the standard edition back then and then bought the collector's edition at a discounted price. They end up paying more instead of just evening out the purchase. So yeah, don't see a problem with it. In fact, I see it's going to give an influx of cash, because people are gonna take this opportunity to buy this stuff. Why not? They're willing to pay for it, so.
Yeah, I guess. Just, I feel like it kind of takes away the importance and the cachet of having that stuff. But I mean, I guess everything does drop in price. It is bleeding edge risk, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you got. I mean, it's the same with a lot of stuff. I mean, if I want to be an early adopter of an iPhone, if I ever lose my mind and buy an iPhone, want to buy the latest and greatest, I'm gonna pay more for it on day one than I would like a year later.
That is true. Fine, be reasonable.
I attempt to be the voice of reason occasionally. I mean, I do know I occasionally lose my mind about stuff, like the Volpira thing last week. Very sorry about that to anybody who was offended. I don't not want Volpira in the game. I just want my I am sorry.
Well, hopefully you can all have your Volpira Tolan love fest.
That's the dream.
Well, Voltorans, there we go. Voltorans, there we go.
So you see Voltorans, I just think of Volpira Torrent hybrids.
Yeah, exactly.
Would it be Vulpira with like a little shell?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Vulpira is wearing little like turtle shells, walking around, speaking words of wisdom.
What did they do to the poor Tortolan? They got that shell from somewhere.
Best not to think about it. It's really best just not to think about it.
I've already thought about it. It's too late.
Then I am sorry for your thoughts.
Anyway, yeah. Don't see an issue with this. I'm fine.
All right, then. Let us move along, then, to some beautiful news, or I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. What was that?
Oh, Frasley, I need the facepalm thing. I'll wait for it. There we go. Thank you.
Are you facepalming my comment on a Discord? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I am. So anyway, bee stuff. So, the bee mount was data mined a long time ago, like during the Battle for Azeroth beta, but we've seen no indication of when that is coming. And we were told at BlizzCon that it's coming in 8.2. And we anxiously scoured the PTR, looking at every data mine thing, trying to find an indication of how we could attain this mount, and there was nothing. Until now. So, there are a series of quests that need to be done to gain favor with a faction. Sorry, wait. So there is... I'm mixing things up because I'm very excited about this because I want my beam out. There is a faction called the Tidebreak Hive, which has the following description. A species of bees known for their unusual size. While newcomers to Stormsong Valley, they quickly made their presence known to adventurers and insect enthusiasts alike. So, what we can speculate from here is that the Tidebreak Hive faction is somewhere in Stormsong. And what is being speculated at this point is that this is going to be another secret finding thing for the WoW secret finding Discord to tackle, so that we may all enjoy the glory of a beam out. Looks as though there are steps disabled in the PTR, so they can't fully figure everything out before the PTR, before 8.2 goes live. But I think it's safe to assume that the Tidebreak Hive has something to do with it.
That makes sense.
I'm very excited about this. I want the bee mount. I just want bug, honestly. I like the bug mounts. I'm very excited. Also, I really enjoy the getup that this Barry the Beekeeper NPC has.
Yes.
It's an obvious beekeeper uniform without the weird net around his face. So the Alliance is going to get some quests in Stormsong Valley. I think it is just Alliance. Which, you know, sorry, Horde people. There's a battle pet named Bumbles that you'll get, that you got as a reward for the Let's Be Friends achievement. Be Friends is exactly what you think it is. There's the pun. And there's a whole bunch of placeholder text. We have no idea what's going on there. We're doing something with bees. I'm very excited. On it. Give me the bee. Give me the bee. Give me to Tortolan. Give other people their Vulpira. But give me my Tortolan too. And the bee mount.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. It looks awesome. I definitely want this mount for sure. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you planning on tackling this secret finding chain, Bedros?
I'm simply going to say no, because It's not my puns.
Oh. Give me a...
Puns aside, are you looking forward to this mount?
Not really. I'm not a fan of bees.
But it's so cute.
It's a bee.
What's not to like about bees?
Well, they sting you, and they're annoying.
It's only if you piss them off.
Then apparently I'm really good at pissing bees off, I guess.
It's the hornets that are a jackass.
Frasley?
Man, give Frasley the opportunity for a pun, and he just runs away with it. I love it. Great.
You're buzzing around like crazy.
Anyway, yeah, bee mount, 8.2, potentially. Like, probably. I hope so. Stop teasing me, Blizz. Just give me the bee. Anyway, what good's a bee without being able to fly? It's not very good. Like, it's inherently a flying mount.
Yeah, it kind of looks weird just crawling along the ground. But it better crawl on the ground if you're in a place that you can only have ground mounts.
You could do the weird little bee dance that they use to communicate.
Sure.
Oh, man. You just know people are going to do that. People are totally going to do that, and I'm for it.
I'm confident they will, because people are weird. So, yes, this coming patch will finally bring us Pathfinder Part 2. And for Pathfinder Part 2, you need to gain Nazjatar Rep, Mechagon Rep, and explore both of those areas. So, whatever your rep for Nazjatar is, and then also your reputation with Rust Bolt Resistance, I believe both need to be revered, and then you also have to explore all of Nazjatar and all of Mechagon for those achievements. And then once you have those meta achievements, and assuming you already have part one done, and if you don't, why don't you? Because it's been so easy. Then you get to fly, and you get a Wonderwing mount, which is a mechanical parrot. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
I am excited. This is the point of the every expansion that I am most excited. I am even more excited by the fact that we'll be able to fly in Mechagon and Nazjatar, because, as you're all aware, we were not able to fly in Argus, and they often do this where we can't fly in later parts of the expansion, because they want to force us to walk and ride our mounts, and it's annoying. I'm very excited for this, and I cannot wait to fly over Kaltras.
What I appreciate about the guide that the Warcraft team put out for this is that they included the coordinates in case, like, for some reason your zone isn't showing up as discovered, even though you're clearly in it. Good old TomTom will be able to help you, like, if somehow you don't have Mariner's Stand in Stormsong Valley discovered, even though you've been there a bunch of times. The area of the map is just not uncovered. You can just go to 6370, 6427, and you'll uncover that part of the map. Thank you, Blizzard. That was one of the most infuriating parts about getting the Explorer achievements. It's like, I'm clearly in this zone. Right. I'm in this uncovered part of the map. Why am I not discovering it? And you fly around for 5 minutes trying to get it. It's great. Blizzard gave me GPS coordinates. And yeah. Thank you. Because I'm pretty sure I don't have one of these. I'm going to have to look. Oh no, I have to have one of these. I have Pathfinder Part 1. Never mind.
I assume most people have it on some character or another.
Yeah, you have it on one character, you have it on all.
Yep. I'm just excited. I want to be able to fly. And that's going to, yeah.
With your B mount?
No, I'll probably fly with my current mounts that I have on all my characters.
I mean, you can have a B mount on all your characters, I'm just saying.
I could. If I actually wanted one.
Be that way.
Moving on.
Yeah. Speaking of stuff coming in 8.2, as we all know, Nazjatar is one of the zones we're getting in 8.2. But there's another zone that I know one person at least is very much looking forward to. That's Mechagon.
You said it right.
Now we don't know a lot about Mechagon right now. As far as lore goes, as far as in-game lore goes for Mechagon, we don't know what's going on there. We don't know how it was discovered. We're not familiar with any of the players or the story that's going on leading into Mechagon. But Blizzard was able to take care of that for us about 3 days ago when they published the Mechagon comic. We're not going to get into too many details about it because spoilers. I will just sum it up by saying that it provides some of that detail that we're missing about Mechagon. And as far, the only thing I'm really willing to say is that it looks as though Mechagon is to the gnomes as is Mechagon is to the gnomes as like Atlantis is to us. Where like they're searching for it. It's a place they want to go to because they think it's a place of great importance to them. And it's reached the point of myth that not a lot of it doesn't appear as though some people believe that it's a place that exists. Yeah.
That's crazy talk. I don't believe in it.
But there's a whole zone. We have a map and everything now. Well, not now.
You're crazy.
But tomorrow we will. Well, yeah, also that. But...
glad we can at least agree on that.
But it's a place that exists. In-game.
No, it doesn't.
What did you guys think of the comic?
It was really good. I was very intrigued by the story. The art style of it was pretty cool to see too. And I always like these little story comics they put out, and it's definitely worth taking the time to check out. It actually does a good job grabbing you. The beginning of it, actually, if any of you are Portal fans, the beginning of it reminded me of some Portal stuff from Ratman. If again anyone's Pearl fans, just that like that crazy talk of like that list, you know, and how like if you actually read like the things he crossed off on that list,
yeah,
you know, you can tell he's going a little crazy with his desire to find Mechagon. But anyways, it's really great, and everyone should check it out.
Wait, are you saying there's a crazy gnome? I can't believe it.
I think this gnome might be crazy by even gnome standards.
That is frightening.
I think Thermoplug levels are crazy.
He's the one who blew up Gnomeron, right?
Yep.
Great.
But yeah, I'm actually pretty stoked to see the story threads in Mechagon. I was definitely just approaching it as a grind out zone to get all the stuff thing, but there's a lot more to it than I was expecting. I look forward to see where that goes.
Definitely gonna be interesting.
Yep. Anyway, that's some new lore that's coming up, but we got there's some cool old stuff too, right, Allie?
Yes. Yeah, speaking of things that are interesting, there has been an amazing, phenomenal remastering of the Fall of the Lich King cinematic by IK Edit on YouTube. And they've done other ones as well, but it is done with, you know, the newer models and all of that, and it is just so well done. Like, I think my jaw dropped for a part of it when I was watching it. And well, there'll be a link in the show notes and everything for it, but it's so good. It's beautiful.
The Wrathgate one was hard, gotta say.
This is also the same one that did Wrathgate.
The new model version of Bolvar reacting to things was hard.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely a lot more emotion that gets shown.
And, yeah, I dug this so much. Like, I mentioned this during the pre-show, but this cinematic was the first one I watched from WoW. When I was starting to get into WoW, it was just at the tail end of Wrath. Like, after ICC came out, I'm like, okay, I want to learn more about this. So I went to the Warcraft YouTube channel and looked at the most recent video, and that was it. Oh, man, it's so good.
Yeah, I definitely recommend everybody check out this person's videos. They've done a lot of different cinematics, and they've done really, really well. This is, I would almost say, Blizzard-quality cinematics. And,
oh, 100%.
You know, I remember the Wrath beta when only a few people were starting to see the cinematic for Wrathgate, and those who did were blown away by the quality. And I'm blown away by the quality here. So, well done to the creator of these things. Definitely check them out, and I cannot wait for some of the future ones. I'm really curious to see what the launch cinematic for Cataclysm is going to look like, because that already looked pretty frightening.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that'll be so good.
It also makes me wonder, too, if... I don't know too much about IK Edit, like if it's a group of people, one person, whatever, but if it is just a one person kind of thing, I wonder if Blizzard will just hire them because it's very impressive work.
Like, even just a thumbnail looks amazing.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Man, so many things we've talked about today take me down memory lane, and I kind of love it. Of course, some of those things were in the pre-show, but like, still.
Yes, there's memory lane. Stuff. Well, let's talk about books then, I guess, because books are good.
Yeah. So today's show, as usual, is sponsored by the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2019. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. Today we're going to take a look at the first book in the King Killer Chronicle series, The Name of the Wind. Let's have a listen.
A wall. We're burning blue. Graham, Jake, and Shep nodded to themselves. The three friends had grown up together, listening to Cobb's stories and ignoring his advice. Cobb peered closely at the newer, more attentive member of his small audience, the Smith's apprentice. "You know what that meant, boy?" Everyone called the Smith's apprentice boy, despite the fact that he was a hand taller than anyone there. Small towns being what they are, he would most likely remain boy until his beard filled out or he bloodied someone's nose over the matter. The boy gave a slow nod. "The Chandrian?" "That's right," Cobb said approvingly. "The Chandrian. Everyone knows that blue fire is one of their signs. Now, he was..." "But how'd they find him?" the boy interrupted. "And why didn't they kill him when they had the chance?"
So once again, that was the first book of the King Killer Chronicle series, The Name of the Wind, written by Patrick Rothfuss and narrated by Nick Podell. You can find that and over 200,000 titles over at bit.ly/ATABooks2019. And we thank Audible for their support of the show.
Absolutely.
So, our question of the week for last week was, what do you think about the possibility of a level squish? How would you do it? Brasley says, "I'm mixed on it. From an alcoholic, it'll be good, but it feels weird losing the levels too. I do think something needs to happen, as it can be overwhelming for new players." Rosenstern says, "Ever since we broke 100, I have disliked the number in my portrait. Nothing they can do to that number, or our stats, or anything else in the game will take away from the experience I've had on my character. Realistically, the stat squishes they do from time to time, or the change in power from expansion to expansion, makes a bigger difference in my gameplay, but that's the cycle. Bring it on." Poiklesen says, "It would be interesting to see how they do it, but I am all for it." Gil says, "I am not at all happy with the level squish. I worked hard for those levels, and I don't want to lose them. I think a lot of people like the idea because leveling would go faster, but they have never said that that would be the case. Leveling half the levels with twice the work per level is not fast. As for making leveling meaningful and rewards, why not give you a reward every 2 to 3 levels and rework the XP bar to show your next reward rather than the next level?
Zeph says, I'm with Puggle Satin with the whole would be interesting to see how they would do it. However, I'm also with Gil. We all had to work very hard at leveling the characters we have and not wanting to lose them. Even an interview with Ion to see what happened, see that happen would not make a portion of the player base feel good. If they do it, I'm sure we'll figure out a way to work with it. I've been thinking about this all week. I also know I'm just a player in a vast sea of people. Not that my opinion outweighs another player's, but I feel like it would be janky at first if they decide to go that way and continue to enjoy the story. Will Seiler says, level as a part of power should be removed, which would tie power to gear. Since Warcraft is an RPG, leveling should be tied to the storytelling. Completing the lore master achievement of all zones in the current expansion should be equivalent to the equivalent of the level cap. The lore master achievement should, for each zone, would also act as attunements for dungeons and raids. Softy Tweet says, 100% on board with Toasty here. Sorry, Medros. In my opinion, a squish to 60 would make leveling matter again and make that thing feel valuable. A new skill or talent each few levels, plus even though leveling is fast now, just the idea of getting to 120 is a mental undertaking. Plus 60 sounds nice. And Pandaron XD says, level squish would help having more content from level to level with down to 60. All could help in every dungeon and do all stuff, making all content to level 60 x3.
Frenzy Heart says, I feel like there are several ways to go about a level squish. Depending on how it's gone about, it could be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. I honestly do not feel like we will have a level squish in the upcoming expansion. It makes more sense to wait for an item level squish. Morally Gray Pod said, bring on the squish. Leveling was crap this go around, and if they can do anything to make it fun again, I'm all for it. Cat Monkey says, I'm a big fan of Taliesin's idea of a squish at 60. Sorry. Of a squish to 60 at 9.01, then leveling to 70 again at 9.1. Also changing 20 to 60 leveling where you can choose any one expansion's content to do, and then you're ready for whatever is in 9.1. Cyrub KOC said, in my gut of guts, I don't like it. Feels bad. But I do admit that I don't know the full details yet, so that's just my fear talking. If I were to do it, I'd do it in a way that introduces a cool new talent tree. It'd be a hybrid of the old and the current trees. And then Pastorianus says, I don't care one way or another. I think people hold on to things too much with this. 1 to 30 classic, 35 Burning Crusade, 40 Wrath, 45 Mists, 50 Warlords of Draenor, 55 Legion, and 60 BFA, and then just stay at 60 forever.
I want to say for the record, please, everybody, we love your answers. This is awesome answers. Please, these kind of answers every week would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the level of engagement with these answers. Everybody provided a different point of view that some of which I didn't consider. Like the Will's point about the about the Lore Master achievement. I could see a way that would work. Also, just the different breakdowns are fantastic. Great. I love hearing from everybody.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that many answers and that much thought put into it. Now, granted, not all of our questions are the most deep, thought-provoking like this. They're sometimes more fun and lighthearted, but this was just awesome.
Well, speaking of questions, you guys more questions about panda monks, I guess.
Panda monks?
Why not?
Well, maybe another time. This time I'm going to ask people, what are you going to tackle first in 8.2? And for me, I think I'm going to head to Mechagon. Sorry, Mechagon.
That works. I am going to hang out with Magni first and get my neck upgraded and on the new path and all that jazz. But then after that, I will head over to Nezhatar. I'm super excited about that.
I'm just going to mount on my horse and go flying for a while around Kul'Thras and just see it from the sky.
You're not going to be able to fly right away.
Well, that's a disappointment. I feel let down.
What are you going to do on Tuesday or Wednesday?
I guess begin the process of trying to fly, I guess.
All right.
All right, so we did get a voicemail this week. It may have been due to the fact that we asked for voicemails due to telephone number issues, but let's listen to our voicemail we got from this weird person.
So I know Madris loves gnomes and all that, so I'm excited to hear what Madris' thoughts are on Mechagon, because I'm so excited that Mechagon opens up tomorrow. So I got a busy Tuesday, but I'm hoping to get into Mechagon. So Madris, please tell me what you think about gnomes. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Highly punchable. 10 out of 10 would do again.
You called during a meeting, Frazzly? Well done, my friend.
I didn't even recognize your voice, dude.
Yeah, phones. They sound weird. Thank you for not playing my voicemail.
And everybody's got that phone voice, eh?
Like, Medros, like, you put out the request for a voicemail and asked me if I could do it, since, you know, I'm in the States and everything. But it was 10:30 at night here. We had just gotten home from a really long night. My husband was already asleep, so I couldn't make the call last night. So I did, like, first thing this morning, because I told him I would. And it does not sound good, so thank you for not playing that one.
Oh, no, I'm saying that for another day.
Or not. You know, that's cool, too.
No, I know. I have to play all voicemails. It's a promise I made.
Yes, because everyone wants to hear my super tired, crappy voice.
You never know.
Would they question it, though, Frazzly? So Frazzly in chat is saying that he didn't do his Frazzly gnome voice because he didn't want his coworkers to question him. Would they question, though, Frazzly? Would they?
So here's, I guess we need to do a secondary question to this, the original question this week. Who wants to hear Allie's voicemail next week?
No, don't, Medros. That's not fair.
We have one vote for Dew.
It's two, like, votes for Dew. It's a 10-second super tired voice. That's all. It's not worth anything, guys.
For Allie's sake, I'm going to say no.
Aw, thank you, Toasty. I feel so loved.
Whatever. Anyways. I want you. Fine. We're not doing a show next week, then. Fine.
Right. All because of me. It has nothing to do with Canada Day or anything.
I'm being teamed up on. I'm not doing a show next week.
But also because it's Canada Day.
Well, yes, it is also Canada Day. And two of the three hosts will... Well, one of the hosts will be busy, one will probably be tired, and the other one will be working, and thus tired. So, yeah, we're not going to show next week. But enjoy your Canada Day and your Independence Day, and if you're not in North America, or the northern third of North America, two-thirds of North America, feel free to just enjoy a Monday without having to rush to Discord to listen to the show.
And just enjoy your Thursday. Thursday's Critical Role Day, so, like...
Are they still doing it on Thursday?
Oh, no, they're taking that week off! No!
That's harsh.
Oh, what are you going to do, Toasty?
Like, go to sleep at a reasonable time, probably.
Will you, though?
No. Let's be real. That's not going to happen.
That's what I tell myself every night, and then I don't.
It was weird yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed at a reasonable time. And I actually did. I was in bed at 10 o'clock. The sun was still up.
I'm impressed.
Which was really unfortunate for me because my window faced the west. So.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Still managed it.
All right, well, what's your shout out there, Toasty? I'll give you one last week to do a hockey shout out. Before September.
I can't even think of a hockey shout-out right now.
Wow, it must be the off-season. My goodness.
Shout-out to the Vancouver Canucks. who apparently are thinking of paying Tyler Myers $8 million for 8 years, or for 7 years, which is a lot for Tyler Myers when you consider the other defensemen who are making over $8 million, like PK Subban, Drew Doughty, Eric Carlson. Tyler Myers does not belong in that group, as much as I like him. But if that's what's going to take to sign him, then I don't want it.
So it's $8 million a year for 8 years.
Seven.
Okay, $7 million for 7 years.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
For Tyler Myers, absolutely.
I thought he did somewhat well this past season. Sometimes
he didn't do as well as PK Subban, Drew Doughty, or Eric Carlson.
Fair enough. Fair enough. How about you, Allie?
My shout out is to friend of the show, Frasley, because this week is the celebration of Frazzlecast's 2 year anniversary. So congrats on 2 years, Frasley.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Congrats, dude.
If I'd known that, I might have made this episode gnome punt free.
Would you, though? Would you?
Maybe. I didn't say I would.
Hey, I mean, he does things for his friends. I mean, he put up with my Gloria nonsense for the past couple weeks. Well, couple weeks, 2 months, you know, whatever.
I'm just happy it didn't start till the playoffs, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because realistically it could have started in January.
Yes, it could have. All right, and my shout out is going to go to that the creator of those upgraded cinematics. That's really awesome work, and I am very curious to see how well they are going to do some of the ones that probably could have used a redo in more recent models. So that's really awesome, and I really appreciate all the hard work that goes into that. And now it is time for our outro.
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, call 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show@allthingsazeroth.com. If you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. Join our BattleNet group at bit.ly/BNetATA and our Discord at bit.ly/ATA Discord, which is where we record every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central. You can find us on Twitter at AllThingsAZ, at Medros, at Fandeth, at ToastyPostyCan, at AliandersK, and at DawnForge. And please check out the other shows from DawnForge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
And we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of 8.2.
Also, the free agent frenzy that starts on July 1st.
And Canada Day. And Independence Day. And a bunch of other stuff. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
This podcast brought to you by DawnForge Productions. Copyright 2019. Get more at the DawnForge.com.